lung cancer.
When you have cancer, it can define who you are.
Prostate cancer.
With proton therapy, you can redefine your cancer. It has pinpoint accuracy to attack your cancer, not you. So you are exactly who you're supposed to be.
I am Barbara.
I'm Charles.
The Roberts Proton Therapy Center at Penn Medicine's Abramson Cancer Center. Schedule your visit at PennMedicine.org/proton. Another reason why your life is worth Penn Medicine.
So kick back with your bacon and eggs and pour yourself a mimosa while former Phillies field reporter Greg Murphy and Green Legion Radio's Chris Zack break down your fighting fills and take you around the league right now on Baseball Brunch. Play ball!
Everybody, Bud Light Baseball Brunch here on Fox Sports The Gambler, 102.5 FM Philadelphia. If you're a little bit further north in Jersey, across the bridge of Trenton, we're 104.1 now on WDAS AM around the rest of the city. Everybody, happy as hell to invite you to our first episode of Baseball Brunch here, powered by Green Legion Radio. My name is Quimby. I am not going to be your host normally. I am sitting alongside two of the best baseball minds, not only in Philadelphia, but anywhere in the world that I have ever, ever been had the pleasure of meeting. So without further ado, first we just want to thank our great sponsors over at Bud Light for making this happen. And we are currently in our studio in Northern Liberties, but that is going to change as of Easter Sunday next week. For the first 6 weeks of baseball season, Bud Light Baseball Brunch will be at the FanDuel Sport and Social Bar at Live Casino. And then after that, when Xfinity Live opens back up, the boys will be at 11th and Patterson on the corner at 1100 Social, broadcasting the show live with everybody on the hottest corner in Philadelphia sports being able to hear that, as well as you guys listening live here on the radio. Again, my name is Quimby, but I'm going to pass it on to the two best baseball minds I know, Greg Murphy and Chris Zack.
Thank you, Quimby. Really appreciate the introduction here. I'm excited for this opportunity. Murph, thank you so much for doing this show with me. I'm looking forward to it. And I hope you're just as excited as I am, man. I've been rocking and rolling all week long promoting the heck out of this show. And it's great to be with you finally in person and doing this together.
Yeah, and I'm so happy to be here. So thanks to you guys for thinking about me and being a part of this. It's going to be a great time as we get ready. I mean, this week, you think about this week every year, you're leading into the opening day of the Major League Baseball season. And if you're a baseball fan, it doesn't get any better than that. The excitement that surrounds opening day in Major League Baseball. We missed it last year. You know, we had a reset late, but it wasn't the same. This year, we're going to have some fans down there at Citizens Bank Park. The Braves are coming to town. And, you know, when Quimby mentioned about being a part of this program, originally it was Baseball Breakfast. I said, hey, I don't get up that early. So he changed it to Brunch, and I'm like, all right, I'm in. So Baseball Brunch, and it's great to be with you, Zack. And I think we're going to have a lot of fun talking about this team. There's so many storylines with this team and so many things that could go right, could go wrong, that's going to make or break this season. So as we make our way through the season and down there at the ballpark amongst the fans, it's going to be a lot of fun.
Judging by our social media accounts, we look like we have a pretty big crowd. I honestly thought that today we were just going to be entertaining cardboard cutouts and maybe some figment of the imagination of Gabe Kapler. But it appears that we don't need that anymore.
I did not bring my coconut oil back
you
from Costa
not?
Rica yet. I'm
well,
sorry.
I think Hollis is still down there, so I know he's definitely using it. But before, how about we do a couple announcements here before we dive into the Phillies, sure, which is what everybody wants to hear about. So Green Legion Radio and Green Legion as a whole, we're going to be doing a trip on the weekend after the 4th of July to Boston. So we're going to be taking over Fenway Park area. This trip will launch. It was supposed to be today at noon after the show. We were going to try and line it up.
Instead, it's
at noon tomorrow.
Noon tomorrow. Unfortunately, Marilyn got drunk in Key West last night, and I didn't hear from her till 3 a.m. This is the unfortunate staff that you fortunately get to deal with on a regular basis.
I mean, getting drunk in Key West sounds like a good time to me. Can we run a trip there?
Absolutely.
All right. 100%.
Can we get an exhibition game down there somewhere?
We'll see what we can do.
How about Green Legion Radio's Baseball Brunch staff versus whoever wants to play?
I'm all in.
There you go.
So the trip is going to be Friday, July 9th to Monday, July 12th. Tickets to the Saturday game between the Phillies and Red Sox with a three-hour pregame party at the Cask and Flagon right outside of Fenway Park. Baseball Baseball Brunch will broadcast live from the Cask and Flagon the very following Sunday from 11 to noon. I know me and Murph are going to be down there. You guys, man, you guys want to be a part of this trip. It's going to be a great time. It's going to be a blast. Make sure you guys come out. Sign up for the trip because Quimby only has limited amount of airline packages at his disposal. If you want to travel by yourself, those options will be there as well. Also, part of today's show, a part of next week's show.
I love this.
We have a ticket giveaway. We are giving away 4 tickets to every game in the Phillies-Mets series. Today, we will give away 4 tickets to the Monday, April 5th game at 7:05 p.m., which is McDonald's opening night t-shirt giveaway. The other 2 games, which we will do next week, for our first show down at Sports and Social at Philly Live Casino, the Tuesday game is also McDonald's opening night t-shirt giveaway. Yep. And then there's a mystery bobblehead giveaway for that Wednesday afternoon. It's 4:05, I guess, afternoon, early evening. But there are giveaways for those tickets, and they are in the 400 level. They're right behind the plate. Great seats. I had the same seats back for game 4 of the World Series in 2009. Awesome setup. There's not a bad seat in the house, and you want to be there. These tickets are the perfect gift for your kids' Easter basket next Sunday. We will ask a trivia question at the beginning of the second segment. How do you answer it to win the tickets? Easy. Follow us on our YouTube channel, Facebook, or Twitter, and whoever answers the question first on any of those platforms will win the tickets. We use StreamYard, so every comment goes on one feed, so Sam, our intern, she'll be monitoring that, and she'll be breaking that out. It's a really good one, so make sure you guys check it out at the beginning of the second segment. Now that all the pleasantries are out of the way and all the announcements are done, listen, we got to get down to the nitty-gritty here.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about Gritty with the Flyers. I already bashed him before we started the show, but we got to get
no Flyers talk here. No Flyers talk here.
Haters going to hate, and I know they suck. So leave me alone, Quimby. But nonetheless, let's get into the Phillies and talk a little bit of our expectations. What do you got?
Well, you know, it's like you talked about getting down to the nitty-gritty. That's exactly what baseball teams are doing right now. They're making those final roster decisions, and the Phillies are no different. They're trying to figure out who's going to be in the back end of that bullpen, who's going to play center field for this team going forward. They have some decisions to make, who's healthy enough to be on the bench. So we're going to get into all of those things this afternoon, this morning, as we talk about this team. But, you know, just on paper, as you sit and I've heard this a lot so far this offseason. The Phillies are running it back, right? With this offense, JT Realmuto is back, Didi Gregorius is back, and this lineup looks very much like the lineup we saw a year ago that scored a bunch of runs. And you know, so I think you have to be pretty excited about the way this offense looks 1 through 8. You know, your 8-hole hitter is going to be probably whoever's playing center field on that given day. But you look down at it and you think to yourself, hey, this team's going to score some runs. And they did last year, and we know what happened in the back end of games last year. But you look down at this opening day lineup and you think, okay, this team's going to be able to score with anybody.
Yeah, I mean, last year, even though it was a 60-game season, okay, so you don't want to take too much into that. But only 4 teams in that 60-game season scored more runs than the Phillies did last year.
Yeah.
Hitting was not the problem, and I'm actually excited that we're actually bringing back Didi, because I would love to see him in person play in a Phillies uniform. Man, I was disappointed last year that we weren't able to get out to the ballpark and watch him play. But this team as a whole, the lineup is not something that you really need to worry about.
Yeah.
You know, you got professional hitters up and down this lineup. I'm a little worried about the outfield depth. I mean, I know we have a competition going on for the center field position. It's going to come down to Roman Quinn, who's had a very good spring. Adam Haseley just came back from injury. Perhaps Odubel Herrera, which I am not hoping for.
Excuse me, that is the name which we will never mention. Isn't that like Voldemort, right?
I think we all had the same feelings about what he's been through, and I could care less if he gets cut this week. I would love to be in Joe Girardi's office and be a fly on the wall when it does happen. It would be fantastic. But I'm a little worried about the outfield depth outside of what we currently have on the roster, Murph. I like Andrew McCutchen in left field. He's not a spring chicken anymore.
Right.
I'm a little worried about Bryce Harper in right field. He had the back issue last year. It was only a 2-month season. Maybe it was because he was ramping it back up. He had a really good first month. The second month wasn't as great. He was still getting a lot of walks and getting on base. But I'm really worried about the outfield depth outside of what currently you're looking at being on the roster. Why don't you tell me a little bit? What did you think about Mickey Moniak in spring? What did you see from him? When do you think we might be able to see him this year if he gets off to a hot start in AAA? Because what minor league baseball doesn't start until May.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, later this year.
So,
yeah.
So what do you think as far as like our outfield depth outside of those guys? Because if one of those guys gets hurt, man, we're kind of hurting in the outfield for production.
Yeah, it's a good point. But you know, if Bryce Harper has back issues this year, this team's got problems,
right?
And so you know if this team is going to compete, if this team is going to be in the mix in this very difficult NL East, which we'll get into later on, but you know, Bryce Harper has to be healthy. So let's work off the assumption that he is. And you're right about Andrew McCutchen. You know, last year they were able to spell him from time to time by using the DH. They don't have that option this year, at least as we sit here today. They don't have that option. So I agree with you. We're going to see some different guys out there. But to answer your question about Mickey Moniak, I think the best thing that we saw this spring with Mickey Moniak is just that, you know, I think we forget that he's still about 21 years old. He's a
right.
young guy. You know, you think back to when Chase Utley made his debut, Ryan Howard, these guys were in their mid-20s when they came up to Philadelphia. Mickey Moniak is still a very young guy, way too early to write a guy like that off, and I think we saw him take a major step towards maybe fulfilling some of that potential that we've talked about over the last couple of years. So he's a good name. I don't know that he has a major impact early in this season at the big league level, but perhaps, you know, down the road, if injuries do creep up, then perhaps there's a problem.
Rule number 76, no excuses, play like a champion.
I'll write that one down. Thank you.
Outside of the outfield, I'm intrigued about the corners of the infield. Mm-hmm. I really like Alec Bohm at third base. It looks like he's taken some time this offseason to work on his defensive game. And then over at first base, Rhys Hoskins is returning. He had Tommy John surgery on his left elbow. Why don't we talk a little bit here about those guys at the corners? Because both of those guys, if they perform to their level of expectations, and we've seen it from Rhys in spells, and we saw it last year with Alec Bohm, who finished second place in Rookie of the Year voting. Why don't we talk a little bit about those two? Because if those two are clicking and they're doing exactly what we expect them to do, this could be a fun summer down at Citizens Bank Park.
Yeah, you know, I think there are so many X factors for this team, and every team has that, and you need those X factors to be more positive than negative. I think the corners that you just touched on are two huge components of whether or not the Phillies are going to take that next step and be that team that's winning 85, 86, 88 games this year, or if they stay right where they've been around 80, 81, 82. And that's going to be a big difference in terms of the postseason. So, yeah, Rhys Hoskins coming back. He looks healthy, says he's healthy, so you take him at his word. He started to figure things out last year, again, it seemed. You know, we saw him burst onto the scene a couple of years ago, and then we've seen him struggle mightily at times. But if he can get back to the kind of player that he was when he was, even in the shortened season, playing the way he was last year, that is a huge, huge addition production-wise to this team. And I think we have to wait and see, but we've seen him do it at this level before, so you have a little bit of confidence that maybe he can get back to that point. And then Alec Bohm, I mean, everyone you talk to, I've talked to a lot of folks in the Phillies front office about Alec Bohm, guys that I really respect baseball knowledge-wise. And to a man, they really think this kid has a chance to be something special. He can flat-out hit. The kid, it's uncanny how he can get his bat to the baseball. And when you're talking about being that young and having that kind of mental approach and that kind of bat speed, you put those two things together and good things happen. He's an RBI machine, and he's going to get a chance to knock in a lot of runs this year based on where he'll be in this lineup. So a full season of Alec Bohm is going to be exciting. And the knock on Alec is his defense, and I think to your point, you know, it's spring training, but we did see, I think, a little bit of growth over there. He seems to be a little bit more confident, not trying to do too much, but making the plays that he needs to make. So I'm excited about that. And I think that, you know, again, if you just look at this lineup 1 through 8 and you project that these guys have good seasons, it's as good a lineup as you're going to find in the National League.
I agree wholeheartedly. I look at Joe Girardi has to smile every morning when he wakes up. and sees the options that he can use at his disposal in that lineup. Because really, you can bat Reese at two and Bohm at four. You can put Real Muto at four and put Bohm at five. You can put you can mix and match the righties with Didi, with the lefty bat. It's so many options, and then you got a professional hitter down there, down towards the bottom of the lineup, like a Gene Segura. I mean, he just controls the zone with his bat, and it's just unbelievable control that he has. And that's somebody that we've kind of forgotten.
It's funny because I look at Gene Segura and you know, being around him 2 years ago and then watching him last year, he's a professional hitter. He's a guy that gets it. Again, someone that's not trying to do too much, understands the situations, is just trying to put his bat on the ball. And, you know, there was a knock on him 2 years ago, lack of hustle at times. I think he learned from that. And I think we've seen over the last, you know, 60, 80, 90 games that Gene Segura understands that, you know, that doesn't play in Philadelphia and that you need to be the all-out kind of player at all times. And I've watched him this spring. He's done exactly that. If he's your seven-hole hitter, you know, you're in pretty good shape. And you know, honestly, a guy like Roman Quinn at eight or a guy like maybe it's Scott Kingery for part of the time. Adam Haseley, I think, again, another guy that gets his bat on the ball. So, yeah, you know, as often is the case in baseball, it's going to come down to the guys who are throwing the baseball to whether or not this team has the success that it looks like they could have on paper. So, pitching, you know, it comes down to pitching.
Right,
comes down to defense. I'm not concerned about the defense, but pitching always a concern.
So why don't we dive into pitching here? Because it looks like we have about 5 minutes left here in this segment. So we kind of want to dive into the rotation, the bullpen, and what our expectation levels are there. Starting rotation, you don't even have to pencil it in. You can put it in there with permanent marker. Okay, you got Aaron Nola, Zach Wheeler, and Zach Eflin right there. 1, 2, 3. I think we've seen how the battle has gone for the back end of the rotation. Matt Moore is going to be looking like he's going to be at the four, mm-hmm. and the five is going to be Chase Anderson. So Vince Velasquez, is he going to wind up in the bullpen? Where are they going to wind up putting him in all of this? I would imagine they're going to start him out in the bullpen because you know they did sign him to, what, $4.5 million contract. You're not just going to eat that money. And Spencer Howard's already back in the minor leagues, which is where he should be. I'll tell you what, Murph. I don't like the starting pitching depth, whether it's on this team or whether it's in the minors and having options available to us just in case something does happen with one of these guys. But my big worry, and I know you were on Green Legion Radio back when I had COVID. You were here in studio with everybody. And, you know, I didn't want to sound so negative with my questions. And I kind of felt like I did. But, hey, I was in a bad situation at the time. So
you weren't feeling well.
I wasn't feeling well. And I was like, oh, my God. Here, let's get a little bit negative here. So my whole thing with Aaron Nola. I'm worried. I know he's pitched well his last two starts in spring training. He's been working on some things. I think he's been working on a cutter. But his numbers in September, October leave a lot to be desired. And these are the numbers that I've come up with. Career worst in win percentage, hits allowed, runs scored, home runs, and walks. Second worst ERA outside of June in his career. These numbers for a staff ace leave me worried that when we get into crunch time at the end of the season and you're coming down to it with, you know, you're in a race with the Braves and the Nationals and and perhaps the Mets, maybe the Marlins get mixed in. I'm a little worried about that. Quimby, you have something?
Yeah, I'm going to be your unruly guest this week. Regarding Aaron Nola, my question is, look, I get Big Smooth. You know, it looks like Ernie Els on the golf course, if you ask me. His entire approach. But I'm trying to piggyback on your concerns here. It just never looks like there's a lot of fire out of that guy. And you're the one that's been around him more than anybody. What's your take on that? I'm curious.
You know, it's funny because I think we hear that. You know, you hear that from time to time about different athletes, and there is something to the fact. And this is true. Some athletes they're working. Aaron Nola's got fire for days, but they make it look so easy when they're out there, and that's part of what makes him successful.
And there's no question that any professional athlete that's made it to this level has to have fire.
Yeah, And look, you can see guys that have work ethic, and you can see guys that work on their craft, and you can see guys in they're spending hours in the tape room. Aaron Nola's all of those things. So I think the idea that when Aaron and I talk one on one away from cameras and microphones, he's a terrific guy. When I get him in front of a camera and we interview, he's very low key, and that's just the way he is. It's just his personality. But Zach, to your point, the numbers are what they are, and I think even Aaron understands that the numbers are what they are late in the season, and that if you're going to be the staff ace, if you're going to be the number one guy on a team that's headed to the postseason, they do need to be better in September. But I think, throughout careers, guys learn a little bit about themselves. And one of the questions that Aaron has been asked over and over again this offseason is, how did you handle the offseason knowing that you were on the mound late last year with a chance to get this team to the postseason and you didn't pitch well? And he has been very upfront and honest about it. He said, I had a hard time letting it go. Guys that don't care let that go, Monday when the off season starts. Aaron does, and I think that's how you learn. You fail and you learn. You fail again, you learn a little bit more. I would be cautious in writing Aaron Nola off.
I'm not. My whole thing that in bringing that up, I like Aaron Nola. Aaron Nola is a solid starter in this league, and he is borderline ace material in this league, and he's proven that. But when we get down to the nitty gritty here at the end, and there I am talking about gritty again. When we get down to that at the end of the day, I am worried about those numbers and getting us into the playoffs.
I'm worried about everything. Right now, if you can't tell, I'm throwing my arms.
Well, that's what it's about. We haven't gotten opening day yet. We're supposed to be worried about everything. Right?
Everybody, Bud Light Baseball Brunch here on Fox Sports The Gambler, 102.5 FM Philadelphia, 104.1 in Trenton, WDAS AM everywhere else. Brought to you and powered by Green Legion Radio. You guys, we'll be back with our next segment right after this.
Listen, could Robert change your life?
At the age of 55, I started putting on weight, and I got to the weight of about 200.
5 FM Philadelphia, 104.1 in Trenton, WDAS AM everywhere else. Zach and Murph, take it away again, guys.
So before we finish up with the Phillies in this segment, because we haven't talked about the bullpen, which was actually the most discussed part of the Phillies roster last year.
Right, discussed or disgusting?
Disgusting for sure, no doubt about it. Second worst bullpen ERA of all time. Yeah. You actually had to live through it.
Yeah, it was tough. I mean, I obviously Phillies fans know what we watched last year was historically bad, and let's hope. And I think they did do a lot to correct the problems, and we'll get into that. But yeah, I prefer not to talk about 2020 at this point in terms of the bullpen. Let's look ahead, 2021.
Absolutely, and we'll get right down to that right after this. We're going to do a trivia question for the free tickets, guys. Remember, this is for Monday, April 5th. If you can't make this game, please don't even bother answering the question. We'll make sure you're available for it, okay? In Game 1 of the 1993 National League Championship Series, who had the game-winning hit in extra innings to win the game for the Phillies? First person on our social media accounts that answers it correctly, you will win the four tickets. So please make sure you get across that right now. We're going to jump into the bullpen while Sam, our intern over here, monitors those accounts, and she'll get me the answer with whoever the winner is right away. But let's not talk about 2020 Phillies bullpen.
Yeah, let's not.
Let's talk about the upgraded 2021 Phillies bullpen and the guy that I am loving this spring. Jose Alvarado.
Yeah.
This guy is unbelievable. I never even knew that this guy could throw frisbees the way that he does.
It's filthy.
It doesn't seem fair. It's like video game-esque the way he throws the ball at the plate.
Yeah.
And the hitters just don't know what's coming. And it's just like, God, I'm trying to remember when we had somebody that could do that.
Been a while.
Maybe Madsen?
Yeah. I mean, you could put Madsen on that list, but he didn't throw as hard as Alvarado.
No,
did.
No.
You know what? What's great about this story, I think, is, here's a guy that was down and out a little bit with the Rays, and you know that they gave up on him. I mean, live arm, but he had his issues, you know, conditioning issues, injury issues, and he's getting a fresh start with Philadelphia. Man, it certainly looks like he's taken advantage of it. Nope. His last outing that we saw, a little bit of control problems. If you saw that game, he threw a couple to the backstop. He had JT kind of scrambling a little bit back there. And you're going to get that from Alvarado. That is his makeup. You know, you might get five excellent performances and then one where he struggles a little bit. But, man, oh, man, you just what comes out of his arm in terms of, you know, the velocity, the movement on the ball, he's got it all. He's got everything you want in that back end of a bullpen. So Joe Girardi has some choices this year as to who's going to close games. Certainly Alvarado's going to be on that list.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, though. But listen, there's nothing wrong with hitting the backstop. You know,
make them think a little bit, right?
Ricky Vaughn, you know, wild thing. Ricky Vaughn, he did it. Henry Rowengardner in Rookie of the Year, he did it.
I've heard hitting the back is really good.
What you and Hollis are doing in Costa Rica is between you two, okay? So, but real quick before we dive into the rest of the bullpen, because we do have a few other new names that are going to be in there, we do have a trivia question winner here.
All right.
And it is longtime friend of the program and Green Legion loyal follower, Sean Henderson. Congratulations. All right. You've won 4 tickets. I hope you take your wife and your 2 beautiful twin girls to the game. Congratulations, Sean. You know Quimby will be the one, and at least it's easy enough. We know how to get a hold of him to get him the tickets.
Yeah, Kim Batiste was the Kim answer
Batiste,
to this.
Yep. And actually... Jansen, please go ahead. Cue it away.
Okay.
Oh, I thought Jansen had.
We could reenact the Harry's call.
Oh, tonight, man.
You know what? Good for our winner. 4 tickets. You know, I was thinking about tickets this year. You know, obviously they're going to be at a premium, certainly early in the season. Chance to get the 4 tickets. We're going to give away another pair of 4 tickets. 2 sets of 4 tickets next week on the program as well for the Mets series. So, you know, good to get into the ballpark. We all missed that last year.
Right.
Good to get back in there. And, you know, they're not cheap. So, nice job on the ticket giveaway.
Please do not forget that the Green Legion is very gracious when it comes to giving stuff away. And we will be giving away a 4-pack of every baseball brunch tailgate, nice. All 5 of them that we have. So there's another 20 people that get to enjoy this show and you guys, and always keep that. And anytime you guys actually need something, I mean, let's be honest. You know, the upper level tickets behind home plate are $26.
Mm-hmm.
I have no problem throwing $100 on any game you guys want to give something away. If we want to do it every week, we do it every week. Well, I'm good with that.
I'm just happy that we're going to have some fans in the ballpark this year, because it's going to make a big difference. So, but you know, to your point, fans in the ballpark, excitement, energy, it's all going to help the guys, you know, in their home ballpark. There was very little home field advantage last year, and I think we saw some results of that late in the games last year. So this bullpen, you know, Joe Girardi has options in terms of guys that are throwing heat and the guys that are really humping it up there. So what they were able to do this offseason in a very short period of time is pretty remarkable, I think, in the way that they've been able to turn this bullpen over to something that looks like might be at least it's certainly not a weakness, and it may be even a strength on this team.
Yeah, and speaking of having fans back in the ballpark, I think the fans in the ballpark help out the bullpen more than anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it really adds the extra juices to their adrenaline when they come out of the bullpen.
And it definitely agitate the visiting bullpen.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah, without a doubt.
And that's what it's about, you know? And you know, even in the season last year, what the Fandemic crew was able to do outside of the ball, they were pretty remarkable. You know, we heard them at every big moment of the game. You could hear them out there, and you know, they made a small difference. It's going to be much better this year, obviously.
So you know who has been talking up the fans and looking forward to having the fans back in the ballpark? Archie Bradley.
Yeah.
You know, we signed into a 1-year deal. It's looking like he's going to be the closer. His performances the last few times in spring training have improved. It's gotten better. He was struggling with his velocity a little bit there, and I think some people had worries. But you know, guys like that are used to pitching in the 8th and 9th inning, they need that extra adrenaline and boost. You know, it's really just working on things at that point. But as far as a closer is concerned, Do you want Archie Bradley to be the closer, or, you know, Hector Neris? I always thought Hector Neris was a better eighth inning setup guy. I'm not sure what the numbers are exactly between his career in the eighth and the ninth inning, but he just feels more comfortable in that setup role. As far as the closer is concerned, what's your thoughts there?
Yeah, I think early on we're going to see a little bit of closer by committee, because I think Joe Girardi is going to give each of the three guys that you just mentioned an opportunity late in games. You know, you're talking about Alvarado's a lefty. You got Bradley and Neris. So he has options. He can match them up. But you think about just 7, 8, 9. If you just break it down that way, you bring in someone in the seventh, someone in the eighth, and someone in the ninth, and those are the three guys that you're rolling out there the majority of the season, you feel pretty confident that if you have the lead after the sixth, that you're gonna be able to lock most of those games down. And that was not the case last year. I think it will be the case this year. One of those guys will emerge as the closer, and I agree with you. I think Hector is really better suited for that 7 and 8 inning role. Not that I don't think he can close, because we've seen him able to do it, but not as consistently as you need it. So I like Hector in that seventh or eighth inning, and then one of the other two guys kind of stepping up and being the shutdown closer that this team, you know, if they had it last year, they're in the postseason. So,
right.
You know, that's the difference of a playoff run and
one
and,
game, right?
And missing it. One game.
One game.
Yeah. And they blew, what, close to 12 or 13, I think, with the lead late in the game. So you think about that, and adding these arms.
It'd be nice to hold a 7-10 run lead.
You know what? It really would be. It doesn't sound like it should be that hard, but we saw last year that it's a little harder than not. But then you round out the rest of this bullpen, guys like Connor Brogdon. You got Kinsler, who has made this team, you know, kind of bet on himself to take a minor league contract.
Thank you, Bryce.
Exactly. And he made this team. Jojo Romero, who we've seen flashes from, another lefty, I think will be the second lefty in this bullpen. So, and then another guy, Vince Velasquez, that you mentioned. I mean, he may get another opportunity. Joe Girardi's gone on the record saying he wants guys that can give him a little bit of length in that bullpen. Velasquez would fit that bill. I know he's has frustrated Phillies fans for a couple of years now, but you can't argue with his stuff. And right. it's not just about his stuff. I get that.
As you can see, I have a slight weight problem. No.
But
I wish I had the stripes clip up.
But. You know what, Velasquez, as you pointed out, did get he got paid in the offseason, so they're going to probably give him an opportunity to see what he can do in that role. So it's a significantly better unit than it was a year ago, and so is the bench, quite frankly. I think they've upgraded the bench as well. So, you know, Dave Dombrowski's only been here for a hot minute, but his footprint on this team, his fingerprint on this team is legit at this point. And you got to believe that as they see what they've got, maybe they make some more tweaks.
Sounds great. Now, before we dive into NL East, because we're going to break it down, we want to talk about the other teams, our opposition for this year. I mean, you got to face all these teams 19 times, and this is hands down the best division in baseball. But before we dive into the NL East, Murph, you know how we had that awkward pause here on the program because I was expecting something from Jansen, and he just failed me miserably? Jansen has
time.
It queued up. Oh, gosh, Jansen, there's so many jokes.
All right, so our trivia answer was...
Trivia answer was Kim Batiste.
Right.
So let's go ahead. Give it up.
Belliard, the second baseman, is closer than the shortstop. Blauser's way over there in the hole on Batiste.
Ball and two strikes. Here's the stretch. The 1-2 pitch. Swing, a hard ground ball. Base hit! Base hit! Down the left field line! Drex scores! Bills win! 4-3 on the RBI hit by Kim Batiste! This place is going wild! Batiste, who made an error in the ninth inning that led to the tie, has picked up a hit down the left field line. Drex scored and the Phillies win 4-3 in 10 in game 1 of the league championship series.
Go for it, Quimby.
And what you guys can't see is Chris Sack lip syncing this entire.
That was impressive.
I told you, Greg, he's an idiot savant when it comes to baseball. There's no better place for him.
And while we're at it, happy belated 85th birthday to Harry Callis. Yeah. Rest in peace. And rest in peace to Kim Batiste, who we just lost this offseason. So I'm glad we can get him in the mix because he was a big time member of that 93 team, as was a lot of people.
And if that doesn't give you chills, I don't know what does. I mean, if you're a Phillies fan, and always great to hear.
Probably top five Harry Callis calls for me in my life.
That's a long list. Yeah. Believe me.
And I don't even know how you narrow that down.
And I was watching the video in here, and Krucky couldn't even run well back then either. He didn't really look like he was rounding third base pretty well.
Now listen, man, I'm not here to take shots at Kruk. All right, Jansen. So let's go ahead into the NL East now. Let's talk a little bit about this. Let's start at the top. The Atlanta Braves, last year, they made it to the National League Championship Series. They blew a 3-1 lead. It sounds like a Doc Rivers Sixers team. Diaz. But they blew a 3-1 lead to the eventual champion Dodgers. I had to get a shot at him. It's been a long show.
He already took a shot at you on text.
Oh, no doubt about it.
The show sounds great. Less Flyers talk. Awesome.
But so they blew a 3-1 lead in National League Championship Series. This team, I believe they've won the NL East now 3 years in a row. Why don't we talk a little bit about the Braves? Because I feel, again, they're the team to beat in the National League East.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think if you're being honest and you're looking at this division, it is one of the toughest divisions, if not the toughest division in baseball. The Braves are the cream of the crop right now. Obviously, they have to stay healthy. That you could say that about any team. But you talk about a lineup that's got a lot of pop and guys that get on base. You know, Freddie Freeman, it seems like he gets 3 or 4 hits every single time he steps up to the plate in any game against the Phils. You got Acuna, Ozuna's back with them, and he was a big part of what they were able to do last year. Dansby Swanson as well. He seems to really be growing into his role as a major prospect, and I think he had an outstanding season last year. So yeah, the Atlanta Braves and their rotation is good. I don't know that their rotation is as good as it was a couple of years back, but they've added some folks. You know, we're going to talk about Charlie Morton in a little while, but he's part of that rotation now. They're a tough team. Now the Phils have played well against the Braves over the last couple of years, which is a good sign. It's the Marlins that give the Phillies the trouble, but these teams are going to beat up on each other for sure. You know, the Nats and the Mets in that mix as well. But yeah, when it's all said and done. If I had to pick a team that's going to come out of the NL East, I think it's the Braves. At the beginning of the season.
Well, I mean, bringing back Ozuna, I mean that was a big key signing for them, the 4-year deal. The only problem is Ozuna last year was the DH, and he was the Silver Slugger. And this year there is no DH, so now you're gonna have to try and hide him in the outfield,
right?
And they lost a nice veteran player in Nick Markakis to retirement. He's not going to be there anymore. But the rest of this lineup is just unbelievable. I mean, from top to bottom, they're the one team in the division that I think can go with us. As far as like tick for tack, run for run type stuff.
Yeah.
And then they're going to get back Soraka. He tore his Achilles last season. So when Soraka returns, it's probably going to be in late April, early May. But they had those kids, man. Max Fried, Ian Anderson. And remember when we drafted Moniak and they said that, well, you know, I think John Middleton said that, you know, there wasn't much in that draft. I think we've seen that there is some that did come out of that draft. Pete Alonso with the Mets, he was in that draft too. If Moniak can play, that's not a problem then.
Yeah.
But Ian Anderson in that rotation, Charlie Morton, Drew Smiley, they're deep. To me, the weakness with the Braves is in the bullpen. I know they have a experienced closer in Will Smith from the left side that comes out there as a closer, but if you're going to get to the Braves, you have to do it in middle relief. If you can get to the starter here or there, because they are still kind of young, but if you can get to their middle relief and you're not already buried from their starting lineup, already burying our starter,
right?
You have a shot.
Yeah, agreed. And, you know, I'm not as sold on the Morton Smiley 3-4 in their rotation quite well, 3-4 to start the season at least, as maybe some other folks. I guess I'm at the point with both those guys, you know, let me see it again, because they're both getting up there in terms of age. Certainly they have the tools to be in the mix, but you know, I'd kind of like to wait and see on those guys. But you're right, the top of the rotation's good. Their defense is suspect, as you mentioned. They have some holes. Austin Riley's going to play third for them again. They're giving him another opportunity because he hasn't been able to kind of outright win the job. So There are some warts on the Atlanta Braves team. But that said, I still would say pick them at the top of the NL East.
Well, we're going to get back to more of the NL East here after we come back on your final segment.
Yeah, so we're going to come back right after this break. We're going to come back. We're going to finish up with the other teams in the National League East, and then we are going to break down our predictions for the 2021.
Predictions.
Hey. Gotta love that.
The Fearless Predictions by Murph and Sack.
Come back to haunt us in July.
Yeah, and then we have some.
And remember, if we get a sportsbook sponsor, it's even going to be worse.
Well, speaking of sportsbook, we also do have a few lines that we like this year for the audience to gamble on this season. So, nice. Please stay tuned. Come on back. And right here at 102.5 Fox Sports The Gambler, 104.1 up in Trenton area. You can listen to us anywhere on the iHeartRadio app worldwide.
Everybody, Bud Light Baseball Brunch, powered by Green Legion Radio, back right after this.
Looking back at the world of sports, it's the iHeartRadio Weekend Sports Time Capsule.
What's going on, fellow sports fans? It's Andy Weston.
Bud Light Baseball Brunch, powered by Green Legion Radio. Here live on Fox Sports The Gambler, 102.5 FM Philadelphia, 104.1 in Trenton, WDAS AM, the rest of the world. Murph, got some Marlins talk, right?
Yeah, you know, Marlins were the surprise team, obviously, last year in the National League. Easily the surprise team. I do not think you see a repeat of that from the Marlins this year. Strength of that team, their rotation is good. They are young, and they could throw, you know, they have Sixto down there. JT's back, so we can talk about Sixto down there now and not have to worry about it. But, you know, Lopez, Alcantara down there as well. So I like the rotation, but they don't have a whole lot of anything else. Their lineup is a little spotty. Brian Anderson, probably their best regular guy. So I don't see the Marlins doing a whole lot in this division this year. We said that last year, and they surprised a lot of people, but I'd go on the record and say it again.
I think they're the one team that benefited from the 60-game season, for sure. Now I'm going to tackle into the Mets. They finished tied for last with the Nationals last year, made a huge splash with ownership change. Steve Cohen coming in, $14 billion. We thought he was going to spend money at will, and he didn't. He brought in catcher James McCann. He made a big trade for Francisco Lindor and brought in Carrasco. Carlos Carrasco was actually a part of the Cliff Lee deal back in 2009. Yeah. But Carlos Carrasco is already down right now, 6 to 8 weeks with a hamstring issue. Noah Syndergaard isn't going to be back until midseason due to Tommy John. Yes, they have Jacob DeGrom, but the rest of the rotation is very skeptical. Mm-hmm. Marcus Stroman hasn't been the same the last few years. So I think the Mets are being slightly overrated, especially in Vegas, as being a top-tier team in the National League. You know, they need a bounce-back season for Pete Alonso, who struggled with the shortened season, so that's one of those guys that, you know, is he going to bounce back once you get back to 162? He did hit over 50 home runs in his rookie year. And then their bullpen. Their bullpen is really solid, but is Edwin Diaz going to have the same level of success that he had last year, or is, now that cardboard cutouts are no longer in the stands, Is he going to go back to 2019 form when he was the worst closer in all of baseball?
It's an interesting question. I agree. I think the Mets are a little overrated. They certainly could make some noise in this division. Their lineup is equally powerful, much like the Phils. But I'm with you. They have DeGrom, and then they've got a lot of question marks after that. We'll wait and see. I do like Edwin Diaz back at the back end of their bullpen. I think he'll be all right. But I do. I think they're being overrated, but they're from New York. That's what happens. And then finally, of course, the Nats, you know, in this division, the rotation of Scherzer, Strasburg, Corbin, solid as it gets, as long as they stay healthy. And I think you have to say that with the Nationals because they have not been able to stay healthy. You've got Soto and Trey Turner. And then you've got a lot of veteran guys, a couple guys that they brought in last year, a couple Schwarber joins them this year.
Starlin Castro, yeah. Josh Bell at first base.
Josh Bell is going to get some time at first. Okay, you know, I really like, obviously, you like Juan Soto. He's an absolutely dynamic player. Trey Turner was outstanding last year. But after that, let me see it before I award them any kind of division. So I think the Phils are a better team than the Nats. That's not what the line is saying right now. But if you ask me today, I say Braves, Phillies, Mets, Nats, Marlins. That's how it figures out.
Sounds great. So now we're going to break down our 2021 Major League Baseball predictions. Sean Henderson did win the four tickets to the April 5th game, and now he's been waiting for weeks for my predictions. So these
could it have been anybody else?
I wish. Don't I wish.
He's now, quick.
Yeah.
We've heard that.
Yeah,
we've heard
that.
Thanks for the layup.
That was great. So now it's our fearless predictions for the 2021 season.
Because these always work out.
Absolutely. Yeah. We could totally be wrong or totally be right. Yeah. So,
and these are the sports book predictions.
No.
We're waiting for a fill in the blank, everybody.
There you go. Come sponsor. All right. So how do you want to do this? You want to break down the American League first?
Well, I'm going to go with the National
League. Okay, go for it.
So the National League East, I'm going to go with the Braves. Mm-hmm. The Central, the Cardinals. I love the addition of Arenado. National League West, the Dodgers. I mean, you can't go any more chalk than that. My National League dark horse is the Phillies. Okay. Teams in the NL Central outside of the Cardinals are a crapshoot, and the teams in the NL West outside of the Dodgers and Padres are just crap. Mm-hmm. The Phillies will be in this thing. Can they overcome the Nationals?
Okay. All right. So I'm with you on the division winners. Braves, Cardinals, Dodgers. I think that's the way. If anything, the Brewers have an opportunity to win the Central, I think. But I'm picking them as my dark horse, the Brewers. However, I don't have them in the postseason. I think it breaks out as the Phillies and Padres are your two wild card teams. At least that's what I'm hoping for.
I knew you were going to go Phillies.
You know, I'm going Phillies, Padres in the wild card. And the dark horse being the Brewers. But, look out for the Padres, too. They've got a chance.
Yes, they do. And then we'll go over to the American League now. In the East, I have the Yankees. The Central, this could be a powder keg. This is either going to go really, really good or it's going to go really, really bad.
You guys went from Katy Perry to Bonnie Tyler. I'm getting a little tired of this right now.
White Sox.
Yeah.
We're bringing in Tony La Russa. That could be hit or miss. But it will be fun to watch. American League West, the Athletics. I think the Astros are on the decline. They don't have a lot of pitching outside of Greinke anymore. The American League Wild Cards, the Blue Jays and the Twins. Mm-hmm. And then my dark horse, funny to say, is the Boston Red Sox. I like their lineup. Their starting pitching is not so deep right now, but they're going to get Chris Sale back from Tommy John surgery sometime close to June, July. If they're in this thing, if they're anywhere close to a playoff spot, their ownership does go out and make moves. I like the Red Sox as my dark horse team.
That's a great dark horse pick. I don't agree with you. I think the Red Sox will be down this year, but pretty much in agreement with the AL East. I like the Yankees to win that division. I think they just have way too much. I also think the White Sox are poised to win that division in the Central. West, I'm going off the board. I'm going Angels, and I know everybody, and I won't say it, but I know everybody has said over the past couple of years it's their time. Their pitching needs to step up, but they have a lineup that can compete with anybody. I'm taking the Angels to win the West.
I like it.
And so I guess the surprise out of it, because I have the Blue Jays and the Twins in the wild card, so the A's miss the playoffs. And I know the A's are a really good team and could easily win the West, but that's how I'm going with it. I'm going to say they miss the playoffs. And my dark horse team, and I don't know if you can call this a dark horse team because they always seem to be in the mix, but I'm going with the Rays because they just always seem to be there. And they always have a couple of guys that come out and, you know, kind of impress early on. And they're a winning organization right now. It's hard to argue, but they're in a tough division. So Rays would be my dark horse.
Funny to say for the defending American League champions.
Yeah, you know, I know.
And it just about the Rays. The one thing that I always love about the Rays is their stadium. Said no one ever.
Hey, we had a great time getting one of the World Series in 2008. We did, baby.
I'll tell you what. I don't think it's the worst stadium in baseball, though. I don't.
Oakland Coliseum.
Yeah, I would. I think it
really?
Is. Open. Yeah. In terms of watching a game and the feel.
Well, I mean.
Tampa, they.
That's still the conversion. That's still the 30-year-old conversion. Right.
Save what your favorite one is for next week when we do Ask Murph segment. Because I got to ask Murph. We're going to have a whole segment where I'm asking Murph questions. Because normally the interviewer. Murph is.
You're going to turn the tables
on.
Yeah,
I'm turning the tables on you next week.
I like it.
So just a slight tease for next week's first show down at Sports and Social at Philly Live Casino. World Series.
It's so hard to kind of go off the board on this one.
I thought the same thing.
So I did. And I don't know if I even believe myself, but I went with the Yankees out of the American League and the Padres. I'm going to put the Padres in the World Series.
Rematch in 1998.
Wow. Yeah. Okay, now if you ask me to put my money where my mouth is, I probably won't. But I'm going Yankees-Padres. That's my prediction right
Dodgers,
now.
Yankees. Okay. Dodgers, yep. Dodgers are going to beat the Yankees. So you got the Yankees beating the Padres?
I do.
Okay.
Yeah, Yanks win the World Series this year in my predictions. But, you know, a lot can happen. As we know, a lot can happen before the end of the season.
So Dodgers and Yankees, huh? Never heard those names before.
Hey, I was right with the Dodgers last year, so hey. Let's do MVPs and Cy Youngs real fast. In the National League, I'm going with Juan Soto with the Nationals.
Okay.
Guys that I kind of have behind him are Arenado, Betts, Harper. Harper's going to be in that mix for sure this year. My NL Cy Young, Jacob deGrom, Strasburg, and Walker Buehler. That's a guy that I like. I picked him as my guy last year. I think with a full year's worth of starts, Buehler's going to perform well. American League MVP, Mike Trout. route. I'm sorry, I have to go with Chalk there, but I do like Chapman. Sorry. I do like Chapman with the A's and Jose Abreu, who's the reigning MVP in the American League. And then Lucas Giolito with the Chicago White Sox. That's my pick for the American League Cy Young. And then, of course, Gerrit Cole or Ryu. There's an underrated guy for the Blue Jays.
All right. Well, Mookie Betts will win the MVP for the Dodgers this year. I mean, especially if you think the Dodgers are going to be the team to win it all. I think Mookie Betts is the reason why. So I'm going to give him the NL MVP. AL MVP, I went with one of the teammates of Mike Trout. I went with Anthony Rendon. I think he struggled a little bit last year in a new situation. I think he's going to have a monster year in the middle of that lineup. So I'm going to go with Anthony Rendon. Yu Darvish wins the Cy Young in the National League for the Padres.
I like it.
Yeah, he's going to bounce back. And I have Gerrit Cole as well as the Cy in the American League.
Okay, now, real quick before we wrap up the show here, we have a few things that we like in Vegas. So I'll go on my first one here. American League MVP, I just said this with a segment here, Matt Chapman, third baseman for the A's. He's at plus 1,800. Please throw $50 down on him and walk away with $900 at the end of the season. Murph, you got one?
Yeah, well, most regular season home runs. You know, you have the obvious names at the top. Trout, Alonso, and Soto are the leaders in terms of the line. But Judge, Stanton, and Harper are back at plus 2,000. That's a pretty good play right there with one of those guys easily could lead the league. So I would say go with one of them.
Okay, and then I have the Blue Jays, obviously. I just select them to make the playoffs. Minus 110. That's a good line right there. And the Nationals, I'll go one for each league, plus 160.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I don't believe in the Nats, and I also said I don't believe yet in these Braves deep rotation. Charlie Morton over under 11.5 wins. I'll take the under on that. I don't think he gets there, and I like Charlie Morton a lot, but I don't think he is going to get over the 11.5. So I'll go the under on that.
All right, and then my last pick is Nolan Arenado coming in at plus 1,500 for National League MVP. I like it a lot, man. He's out of Coors Field now, so we'll see how the numbers go. But now he's going to be on a team. He's going to be protected. He's got Paul Goldschmidt in that lineup with him too. So that's where I'm going with my NL MVP pick.
All right, he's a great player, no doubt about it. I think it's a good one. Bryce Harper over under 105 RBIs. Give me the over all day long. I'm going to take that.
He almost had that in last year's season, right?
Yeah, right.
Are we done?
We are all wrapped up, baby.
All right, you guys. Hey, everybody, we appreciate you guys tuning in for our first Bud Light Baseball Brunch powered by Green Legion Radio here on Fox Sports The Gambler, 102.5 FM Philadelphia, 104.1 in Trenton, WDAS AM everywhere else. Do not forget to join us next week at Philly Live Casino for Easter Sunday from 11 to 12. Grab your Bloody Mary, grab your mimosa for Murph, Zach, and myself, and of course Slash and Sam Brady. Thanks for joining in. We'll see you next week.
There's money available to help cover your PGW gas bill, but you have to apply to get it. Imagine up to $1,000 to help pay your PGW gas bill this winter. No
lung cancer.
When you have cancer, it can define who you are.
Prostate cancer.
With proton therapy, you can redefine your cancer. It has pinpoint accuracy to attack your cancer, not you. So you are exactly who you're supposed to be.
I am Barbara.
I'm Charles.
The Roberts Proton Therapy Center at Penn Medicine's Abramson Cancer Center. Schedule your visit at pennmedicine.org/proton. Another reason why your life is worth Penn Medicine.